Do you know what the scariest thing is? To not know your place in this world. To not know why you're here. It's just an awful feeling.
Maestro, I'm a little worried today. You want to know what I'm worried about?
I would like to know what you're worried about.
I'm worried that you're going to have so much fun today that you can't stand it. You just can't stand it.
So you didn't look that worried when you came in.
Well,
so
it's an acquired skill to be worried. Welcome to another edition of Career Callings. I'm your host, Robbie Romeiser. We're at Career Callings. Our purpose is to help you avoid the financial and emotional pain of a bad career decision by helping you find, prepare for, and pursue the work God created you to do. We're glad you could join us today, and we invite you to share your questions and comments by phone, text, or email. To call or text, join us at 864-381-7649. That's 864-381-7649. Or you can reach me by email at robbie@careercallings.net. That's R-O-B-B-I-E @careercallings.net. Now, even though we are going to have a lot of fun today, I want to start off this segment with it's definitely a sad story. Just a few weeks ago, the weekend of New Year's holiday in 2015, shortly after 6 p.m. Eastern time on January 2nd, tragedy struck the Gutzler family of Nashville, Illinois. The Gutzlers were flying home in the family's plane, Piper PA-34. Not that that matters. I don't really know what that means, but that's a small plane that they owned, and they were coming back from a vacation in Key West, Florida. They crashed in western Kentucky on the way back home. The crash killed all on board except for 7-year-old Sailor Gutzler. News reports from various outlets confirmed that after attempting to wake her deceased father, mother, older sister, and older cousin, Sailor trekked about 3/4 of a mile from the crash site to the home of 71-year-old Larry Wilkins. Now, before leaving the crash site, Sailor unsuccessfully attempted to light a damp stick with the fire that was still burning on the plane. Then, with no light, because this was after 6 o'clock, and it's, January, so it's already dark in the eastern United States. So, with no light, she ventured into the woods, dressed only in a T-shirt, a pair of shorts, and one sock. Her wrist was broken, and it was 38 degrees outside. All right, say they were flying back from Florida. She still had garb on from their trip to Florida. The woods were filled with hazards, which included downed trees, sharp thorns, creeks, and coyotes, just to name a few. Yet roughly 40 minutes or so after the crash, Sailor arrived at the doorstep of Mr. Wilkins, bloodied and cold, yet saved from great harm. Now, other reports I've reviewed about this tragedy, many cited the remarkable presence of mind with which Sailor addressed her situation. One of those reports, however, did give credit where credit was due, and that credit was Sailor's father. Marty Gutzler was a licensed commercial pilot and flight instructor, and according to one of the reports I read, he had equipped his family with basic survival instructions in case of a plane crash. With this basic training, and certainly, most definitely, with the merciful hand of God, Sailor was able to survive not only the crash, but also the trip out of the woods. Now, God, through Paul, teaches us in 1 Timothy 5:8 that we have an obligation to provide for our families. And to read that verse, let me just share with you the Amplified Bible version of that verse. It reads this way: "If anyone fails to provide for his relatives, and especially for those of his own family, he has disowned the faith by failing to accompany it with fruits, and is worse than an unbeliever who performs his obligation in these matters." Now, obviously, Marty Gutzler had provided for his 7-year-old daughter and the rest of his family in case of a plane crash what to do, and that is part of providing. Of course, the context of 1 Timothy 5:8 talks about providing for people financially. But when I dug a little bit deeper into that word, provide, I looked it up in the in the concordance, in the Strong's concordance, and looked at what the Greek word was and what it meant. The Greek word is the Greek word proneo, and I have no idea if I said that right. I'm not a Greek scholar by any stretch of the imagination, but it means this: to perceive before, or foresee. To provide, think of beforehand. To take thought for, or care for a thing. And certainly providing financially for someone's loved ones is part of that, but that definition of that Greek word also helps us to understand that providing for our family members includes foreseeing and thinking about the future needs of those loved ones, and then taking the necessary steps to provide for those future needs. And that's exactly what Marty Gutzler had done for his loved ones. And I hope God will give us all similar insight for the needs of our own. Now, what in the world does that have to do with finding God's career calling for your life? You know, your life and the lives of those that you love. Well, that translates into we have an obligation to foresee. And I'm talking specifically about our kids, not just ourselves. But if you're old enough to have children, one of our duties to provide for our family is not just financially provide for them, but to understand, how God made them and what kinds of career choices will be best suited for them to pursue. And I've got three children. 16-year-old girl is my oldest. I've got a 13-year-old son. I've got a 9-year-old girl who will be 10 any day now. And part of my job for them is to foresee into the future and what kind of vocations God designed them for, where they can excel and bring Him the most glory, and by bringing Him the most glory, reach the most people for Him. And I have an obligation to provide for them, to foresee and help them and guide them in that direction. And if I ask myself the question, am I doing enough to prepare them for that future, I've got to be honest with you. I got to say no, and I'm afraid that a lot of people are in the same boat I am. We haven't done enough to provide, to foresee. So I'm personally challenging myself to do a better job of that. And for those listening today, I'm doing the same thing for you as well, to challenge you to do better than that. Now, to specifically drill this down, let's talk about the millennial generation. Now, many people know what that means. Many people don't. Millennials, also known as the millennial generation or Generation Y, are the demographic cohort following Generation X. And I'm a Generation Xer in my early 40s. And now there's no precise dates that signify the start and end of the millennial generation, but most researchers and commentators use birth years ranging from, the early 1980s to the early 2000s. And all my kids have been born during that time frame, so I would classify all of them as millennials. Much has been written about this generation's work-related challenges and plights. And here's some quick stats to kind of point out what I'm talking about. And by the way, I will have all these stats on my website, careercallings.net/radio, the radio page. And that way, anybody interested in getting these stats can go there and get them. Here's stat number one. The millennial generation is the most educated generation in human history, yet they have the highest share of people who are unemployed in the last 40 years. Young people aged 18 to 34 have struggled with double-digit unemployment and account for half of the 10.9 million unemployed Americans. The Federal Reserve Bank of New York went deeper and looked at underemployment among grads, and they found in 2012 about 44% of grads were working in jobs that did not require a college degree, and the share of underemployed recent grads in low-wage jobs, defined as less than $25,000 a year, rose from 15% in 1990 to 20% just a couple years ago. So in other words, to translate that, things are not looking great for the millennial generation in the workforce. They are struggling. Now, why is this happening in mass for that generation? Well, number one, of course, bad economy. We're still not completely, I guess technically we're out of the recession, but things are still tough nationwide economically for many, many folks. Baby boomers not retiring because they can't, because of the bad economy hitting them so bad over the last several years. So the baby boomers who would normally get out of the way so they could get their jobs, these millennials could get their jobs, aren't moving out of the way. Perception that, or real or imagined, that millennials don't have the skills needed to thrive in the workplace. And to kind of show you what we're talking about, I want to share this little report with you.
So, Marathon Industries, give me a breakdown.
It's a B2B company that provides cloud storage for Fortune 500 companies.
Chet, what did the market research turn up?
What? Oh, I Googled them, but the results were weird.
You didn't use the market research database that we spent thousands of dollars a month on, and that you were specifically trained to use?
I quit. This job is different than I thought it would be.
Stop. Does this situation look familiar? A new type of worker has entered the workforce. They're called millennials, and they're terrible. Today, I'm going to teach you all about this new breed of worker so you can avoid misunderstandings in which you feel the need to fire them immediately. In the first reimagination we just saw, Mary makes the classic mistake of not reassuring Chet while offering overflowing amounts of praise.
Chet, you were so smart to use Google. That's the perfect way to start the research. You're so smart.
Great job.
So the conference call is scheduled for 10:30, so that we're on the same page. Let's do a pre-call about 9:30 a.m.
I don't understand. Noodles.
Nine thirty.
Sheryl Sandberg here isn't aware time exists before 10:30 a.m. To her generation, there's a mysterious dead zone after 4 a.m. and before they stroll into work 40 minutes late with their iced coffee. So take that into consideration for scheduling.
That's very difficult for me.
Fine, I'll take the call myself.
Oh, thank you.
Nailed it.
Here's that report that you asked for. Oh,
thanks.
Morgan did exactly what was asked of her. Nothing more, nothing less. She expects a raise and promotion.
Thanks. Junior Executive Manager of Data Consulting.
Is that better than Assistant Manager of Junior Accounts?
Yes.
Thank you. I'm gonna go call my parents.
Now you're getting it.
I need to take work off tomorrow for a mental health day.
Did you know millennials can actually be exceptionally creative with reasons why they need to miss work? These eccentric excuses are normal to them, and they will be to you too.
Sure, that's a normal thing.
Hi, I know I only get 10 days paid vacation, but that wouldn't count a 3-week Argentinian surf spirit quest, right?
No, why would it?
That's it. Any questions? Why even hire millennials? Oh, right. Well, millennials comprise 19% of the workforce. If none of them worked and their parents supported them, it would cripple our economy and China would take over. So unfortunately, it's your civic duty to employ them. Trust us, we want to fire them all too, but we can't.
Oh, yeah, that's the future of our country, Maestro. Hang on tight. We'll pick up where we left off when we get back from the break. I'll be Roe Miser of Career Callings.
You have to make a lot of decisions. One decision can make all the other ones easier, the decision to follow Jesus. Billy Graham and Franklin Graham help you do that every Sunday on the Hour of Decision.
We're going to see what the Bible has to say about the problems that we face in our world.
God loves you, and he's good at putting the pieces of your life back together, if you'll trust him.
The Hour of Decision, biblical wisdom that'll help you make the right decision.
Sunday mornings at 8:30 on Christian Talk 660 and 92.9.
Only 27% of college grads are working in the career field for which they studied. The average cost of college is a little bit more than $18,000 a year. This means that 73% of college grads waste $75,000 and years of their lives pursuing fields of study they will never use in real life. Career mismatches cause people financial and emotional pain as they struggle to pay their bills and also to find meaning in their lives. The late Larry Burkett recognized this, and for nearly 30 years, Crown Ministries, through its Career Direct Assessment, has helped hundreds of thousands of people around the world find, prepare for, and pursue the purpose-filled work God has called them to do. To learn more about how you or someone you love can use biblical wisdom to avoid the financial and emotional pain of a bad career decision, visit careercallings.net/discover and let us help you find, prepare for, and pursue the work God has called you to do. Again, that's careercallings.net/discover, careercallings.net/discover.
He ran for state office and was beaten. Started a business and failed. Ran for Congress and lost. But thankfully, Abraham Lincoln didn't give up. Persistence. Pass it on from the Foundation for a Better Life at values.com.
8-year-old Anna Esmeralda was at death's door from severe malnutrition. Springing into action, Dr. Laura Luke and the hospital staff in Guatemala treated their tiny patient with God's love. And over the next 6 weeks, Anna regained her smile, her energy, and her life. Dr. Laura Luke, her husband Mike, and their five daughters left the comforts of Spartanburg, South Carolina to win souls, like little Anna's, for God through medical missions. To learn more about, pray for, or financially support the Lukes, visit hopebound.org. That's hopebound.org.
But our lives aren't just measured in years. They're measured in the lives of people we touch around us.
This feels like my calling and my purpose in life. There's something different about this journey that's more heart connected.
Purpose is more than just your core of your own self. It's beyond your own identity. Everybody ultimately wants to serve other people.
You can have everything in life you want. You'll just help enough other people get what they want.
And that little bit of sadness in the mornings you spoke of, perhaps you're not doing what you're supposed to be doing.
Hey, Maestro, how was your nap during the break?
Wasn't quite long enough.
It wasn't long enough. Hold on a second. Let me reach over here. Hold on a second. Hold on a second. Okay, here we go. I had to reach over there and get the tissue from the tissue bag. Got some drool coming out of the side of your mouth there.
Thank you.
Wipe that up a little bit there, pal. Right. They work you too hard around here, man. You know that? They work you way too hard.
And I don't get enough days off either.
I tell you what. I'll put in a requisition form to management for you. Welcome back from the break to Career Callings. I'm Robbie Romeiser, your host, and our purpose here at Career Callings is to help you find, prepare for, and pursue the work God created you to do. You're welcome to join us by text or phone call today at 864-381-7649, 864-381-7649, or you can reach me by email at robbie@careercallings.net. That's R-O-B-B-I-E. At careercallings.net. Now, we just kind of ended the last segment with a little parody about millennials in the workplace, and I just want to be, you know, completely transparent with you. There are tons of fantastic millennials in the workplace. There, you know, there is that perception among many employers about some of the issues that arose and were made fun of during that parody, but, you know, there's a lot of great folks that are well-trained and eager to get into the workplace, yet it is safe to say generationally there is a huge issue for millennials, perhaps a bigger issue than for many or any other generation prior, at least in recent history. And to kind of add to that that line of thinking, I want to kind of read a little bit here from an article called The Surprising Reason College Grads Can't Get a Job. It was published last year, 2014, in the Fiscal Times, thefiscaltimes.com, and the author's name was Eric Pianin. And one of the things Eric said was this: nearly three-quarters of hiring managers complain that millennials, even those with college degrees, are not prepared for the job market and lack an adequate work ethic, according to a survey from Bentley University, a private business school in Massachusetts. Those hiring managers aren't alone in their assessment either. A wide range of business people, corporate recruiters, academics, and others interviewed for the study agree that recent college grads deserve a grade of C or lower for their preparedness for their first job. Employers' attitudes about hiring millennials often transcend concerns about training and technical skills. Many actually are put off by the fact that entry-level candidates are clueless about how to navigate an office setting, according to an analysis by Time magazine. For instance, a survey by the Workforce Solutions Group at St. Louis Community College found that more than 60% of employers said applicants lack communication and interpersonal skills, an increase of about 10 percentage points in just 2 years. Many managers also said that today's applicants cannot think critically or creatively, solve problems, or write well. Now, let me just kind of pause there as I go through that article. Does that really sound like a shock to anybody? I'm telling on myself here, okay? Like I told you before, I've got three kids that would classify as early or young millennials. And, I'm as guilty as the next guy. Their noses are in iPods, iPads, iPhones, or Android devices of your choice all the time. People in that age group, you know, communicate by text, even when sitting next to each other or across the table from each other. The preferred mode of entertainment for many folks is playing video games rather than going outside and playing a, you know, interactive game, some sort of sport, or goodness gracious, hide and seek, you know, requires some interaction, and it requires more problem-solving skills, you know, think about it, than a typical video game does. So, you know, it's not hard to see how people in that age group do have a problem with the interpersonal skills. You know, I think I put the blame on myself, you know, for my own kids not having the, not forcing them into enough experiences to develop those skills. So I think I'm challenging myself and other people listening today in that same way. Going back to the article, the National Association of Colleges and Employers surveyed more than 200 employers about their top 10 priorities in new hires. Overwhelmingly, they wanted candidates who are a team player, that are problem solvers, and who can plan, organize, and prioritize their work. Technical and computer-related know-how placed much further down the list. So the emphasis here was basically on people skills, not so much on technical skills, although, of course, there are plenty of vocations where the technical skills are important. But the thing that seems to be so lacking in the generation is the ability to interact with people. And this is a big thing that's hurting a lot of our kids. Learning about something in the classroom is one thing, but applying it in practice as you interact with other people is entirely another. And it is applying knowledge to real life where we learn those interpersonal skills, those problem-solving skills. And our kids just aren't getting that like they used to. And as I said, I'm guilty as charged when it comes to my own kids. Another thing here, a majority of people say they prefer to hire a recent graduate with industry-specific skills than a liberal arts graduate who needs to be trained first. In other words, you know, there, I forget where I read it, but not long ago I read that the number one major in the United States is still a business major, which is a very general liberal arts type degree. Yet a majority of hiring managers want industry-specific skills and industry-specific degrees so that there's less training when they hire someone. If you hire someone who had a history degree or an English degree and you're training them to be, I don't know, I'm just pulling something out of the hat, a computer programmer, you got to train them from ground zero, as opposed to if you had someone who has a computer programming degree, that the training curve or the learning curve is a whole lot less. Now, lest you think this issue with the millennial generation is just an American issue, it's not. I'm going to read a couple of excerpts from another article for you here, from an article that was written in Great Britain, again in 2014. It was called Young People Lack Workplace Skills, Firms Say in Survey. Now, quoting from the article here, the British Chamber of Commerce survey of 3,000 firms found that 9 out of 10 thought school leavers, which would be, you know, students who left school earlier before graduating, were not ready for employment, and more than half said it was the same with graduates. Three-quarters of the companies surveyed put the situation down to a lack of work experience, and more than 50% said that young people did not have even basic skills such as communication. And one guy, John Longworth, who is with the British Chamber of Commerce, said this: firms need young people who are resilient, good communicators, and understand how to work part or as part of a team. So seeing the same kind of problems in Great Britain as we're seeing here, it's the lack of interpersonal skills. And I think a lot of that just has to do with our technological world, where it's so easy to engage electronically, so much less easy, if I can say it that way, to engage interpersonally. Because, you know, let's just go watch a movie, let's go do Facebook, rather than go out and actually do something. Now, we'll talk a little bit more about that. Before we do, it's time for another rendition of
Take This Job and Shove It. I ain't working here no more.
All right, time for another rendition of Take This Job and Shove It. Let's do a quick survey of this article found on Kim Komando's website. If you've never heard of Kim Komando, I highly recommend checking out her website. She also has a national weekend radio show. It's quite entertaining and informative. It's about technology-related matters. Her website is komando.com. And I'm quoting from a article that appeared on her website, 5 Online Jobs That Really Pay. And I will link to this article on my website, careercallings.net/radio. And so here's from the article. If your New Year's resolution is to find a job, a new job, or make some extra money to save up for a car, then you might want to consider the internet. Now, just to paraphrase, Kim's not talking about your typical internet-related jobs like filling out a bunch of surveys and things of that nature. That's that kind of stuff's been around for a while. A lot of people know about those things. Here, she's talking about real jobs with real companies that allow you to work over the web. So here is the first one, virtual assistant. A virtual assistant. Are you a serial organizer? Do you love to organize? There's an all-new use for your unique skills, and the growth of global tech-focused businesses has created a massive market for assistants. And there's a website called Zirtual that has a pretty big database of people competing for virtual assistant jobs. So that's one idea. Number two, an online reseller. If you love to go shopping for bargains and turn around and flip stuff, of course, your eBays of the world, your Amazon.coms of the world, those types of websites allow you to go buy stuff, bargain basement at a, you know, weekend, what am I talking about, garage sale, yard sale, mark it up and sell on eBay for what you know it's worth in the marketplace. So that's a great idea. Next would be an answering service. Maybe you love communicating on the phone and you're good at it. You could become a company's answering service. And there's all kind of technology out there that will enable you to do that. And there's a link to some ideas in this article here. And again, I'll post a link to this article on my website. Interview transcriber. Medical transcriptionists have been around for a long time. Other industries need help as well, where people are actually taking in, interviews and transcribing those for employers. And then finally, a researcher. Maybe you love to research. Oh, man, there's all kinds of companies that need good researchers on any number of matters. And there's some great research jobs on websites like LinkUp, Glassdoor, SmartBrief, of course, your career builders and monsters.com. But those are some great ideas for that. And that leads me into the 5 online ways that the jobs that really pay. And that ends our next edition of
Take This Job and Shove It.
We've just got about a little bit of time left here in this segment. So what I want to kind of do is wrap up this thing we can do, this thing about millennials and their struggles in the workplace. That report from Great Britain that I talked about recommended that in practice, we need to give proper career advice to our millennials. And schools and universities need to be able to help guide these pupils into the workplace. So I think as we wrap up the program, without going into great detail, we need to really focus on this proper career advice. How do we guide our kids according to their design by God? What kind of vocations are they best suited for? That's number one. Number two, as we seek out training venues for them, we need to really drill down and ask those colleges and universities, what are you going to do to help my child get a job? What's your track record for helping me get that job? All right, what's the track record? And make them sell you on their ability to help them get a job. Well, that wraps up our latest edition of Career Callings. And Mark Twain said, the two most important days in your life are the day you're born and the day you find out why. If you don't know why you're here on earth, what kind of purpose you have, seek God's guidance and He'll give it to you.